Welcome to North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, and Carl and Linda Bach. 7:05 on March the 22nd, and it actually, I walked from the truck to the station today and didn't get caught in a deluge of moisture. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Hey, our phone line's here, 530-605-4567. And we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com, and also our chat room is up and running, I believe. Isn't it there, Bad Bob, shaking his head up and down? I guess he would be nodding his head up and down as opposed to shaking it left and right. So he's nodding it up and down. He looks happy in his little gray sweater that he wears over his safari costume. It is a safari shirt you have on there, isn't it, Bob?
I think that's what the tag said. I didn't pay much
safari
attention.
Safari shirt, yes. And speaking of wild animals.
Oh,
here she is.
Well, arr. Speaking of wild animals, last night was Dancing with the Stars. Of course, it was the debut of the season. Sugar Ray Leonard, names like Christy Alley, Ralph Macchio,
Chris Jericho, the wrestler.
And how about the NFL guy?
Oh, Hines Ward.
Yeah, he was good. Hines, I'm rooting for Ralph. I don't know why. Charming. He's charming.
It's part of the Karate Kid thing.
Yeah, and like I said, the word has been there's no really great big stars, and that's the joy of this. It's that, you know, you've got to cross the board, and the whole fun part of watching the season is to see how people transform. People get better. Their bodies change. Their moods change. Sugar Ray Leonard, I was thinking to myself, I think probably of everybody it was the hardest on him last night because he has been the champion of the world, and then all of a sudden he's in front of millions of people, coming down to the first rung of having to learn to move his body in a different way. So I don't think people realize that the functionality of your body to dance is so different than how he might have danced in the ring, but it was a whole different ball game. And you could see this man had like, He's a champion, but he had fear on his face. What'd you think of that, Carl?
Well, you know, it's,
you're looking at me.
Oh, no, I look at you all the time. I think what it is his
look.
Partner. His partner had said it right. She said he is used to moving with his shoulders up around, you know, and his hands up in front of him to protect him. And I have seen, and people of my age and older and probably younger have seen Sugar Ray Leonard fight. He was so smooth in the ring. His footwork was just extraordinary. Fast, moving side to side, back and forth. He could move and turn and pivot in just a microsecond. His reflexes were so good. But this is like 20 years later. I imagine that Sugar Ray Leonard's got to be in his late 40s, early 50s, and this is a completely different way of training your body. And he was. And because he is a champion, because he is used to being able to have his body do things, all of a sudden he can't. So it is a little frustrating. Unlike the Playboy Bunny out there who is...
Kendra.
Bouncing her way through there.
Of course.
Bad Bob, did you see that?
I did not. I don't know. These shows are sort of becoming kind of like the gaming casinos of the air. It's where the old stars who would otherwise fade away into obscurity show up again. It's amazing.
Well, except for Romeo. But yeah.
No, I disagree on that one, and I'll tell you why, Bad Bob. Yes, there are. Like Ralph Macchio. I mean, who's heard of Ralph Macchio?
Christy Alley's making a comeback again.
Yeah, but some of these people, like Romeo and some of the guys from last year, I mean, they're the latest. They're reality star people. They're these, of course, I don't know if that's really stars or reality stars.
Reality and star can be used in the same
sentence.
Exactly. But there are other people like models and that have made it at some point. But you're right. I think there's a certain variety of people that they want to see again. And they want to see something like it. I mean, personally, I mean, Dancing with the Stars, it's been on since 1990.
Well, 1990, it's 1999. It's in its 12th
year. Not 1999, right.
Okay, so if you're just tuning in, it is going to be high today at 52. It's currently 46 degrees. Carl, we have a lot to share with you today. I know Carl's revved up because we have a lot of open line time today, and so he's going to get rolling here. And I have three different sets of tickets to give away for various events that are coming up that you're going to want to call in for. So those are in front of me, and we're going to be talking to you a little bit about what happened on this day in history. We'll be back after these messages. Good morning, Carl and Linda Bott here on KCNR 1460.
Welcome to Boom Boom Radio on KCNR 1460. Boom Boom. Boom 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 Boom. Carl and Linda Bott, 7:14 in the morning, March the 22nd. Are we having weather today or not? We having weather today? Should we do weather? We'll catch that up later. Okay, but it is.
Yeah, we should do weather. It's a chance of showers. Excuse me. 40% chance of showers. I'm just kidding. You know it's going to be raining all week. 100% tomorrow with a low of tonight, actually. The storm's on its way with southeast winds between 3 and 5 miles per hour. I drove down to Red Bluff last night. Hail. Couldn't believe it.
I don't know how much of that hailstorm hit here, but over where I'm at on Airport Road, there was a sustained hailstorm for over an hour. Half-inch, I have pictures on the iPhone, half-inch diameter-sized hail, and it lasted for the better part of an hour. It looked like it snowed in the complex where I'm at. It was crazy.
Isn't that interesting how they have the patchy areas?
They're called hail swaths.
Oh, hail swat.
That's what happens when you marry a meteorologist, you see.
I like that.
And speaking of hail, that's hail to Jay. Jay, yellow, our taxi guy, yellow cab, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are y'all doing today?
Good.
Well, we are being talked about hail swaths.
Hey, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I was listening to you guys talking about old Sugar Ray Leonard, and I was just thinking about how a lot of people who had combat training, they have muscle memory in which somebody jumps out, but they instantly move without even thinking about it, and how after you've trained your body that way, how difficult it must be to have to learn to move a different way.
Yeah, I think so. I think, a lot of it is, they call it reptilian memory, that you do things over and over again that just becomes a part of you.
Yeah, I'm not
sure. The moral of the story is, Carl, no hip bros or anything. Okay?
Yeah, that's right. I'll try. Only thing my partner has to worry about is me stomping all over her feet and breaking an ankle. I think, or if she wants to do something like a lift, and then all bets are off.
You should have seen it last night. Carl has this book in his face, and I kept saying, "Did you see that? It's Sugar Ray Leonard. He's the champion of the world. Watch him. It's hard. This is hard." He said, "Oh my God, I'm in for it. I'm in."
Yeah, I have to.
You're gonna kill me, Bill.
It's not bad enough. I have to practice. I now have to listen to it at home. I mean, it's months away, and already I'm tired.
So now I know why she was away on Simon. You stepped on her toes again.
She's lucky that she still has flesh on her ankles with me and my dancing, my clogging here. Okay. All right. Thanks, Jay.
Oh, Jay.
Have a great day, guys.
All right. Hey. Okay, we've added something to our website, by the way, yesterday. It's kind of, a little tongue-in-cheek, but if you want to follow the radiation.
Oh, boy.
If you want to follow the radiation that's raining down on California, just check out KCNR. And we've got a way you can track the radiation that's falling down on us. And in fact, speaking of that.
Well, while all this stuff is going, the mayhem is going on in the world, and we hear very sad news on a regular basis, there are other things that are going on that we can attend, that we can go to with our time. And if you're listening this morning at KCNR, I have tickets. And I am going to take the first caller this morning at 605-4567, and you can win the Red Bluff Roundup a pass. And I'm going to give four away this morning, so you could take your family. We have either Friday night, which would be April 15th, or we have Saturday. Actually, we've got Friday and Sunday, April 17th and Friday, April 15th. So if you call, you'll get four tickets. These are $12 values, and the Sunday North Arena is an $18 value. So we have been given these, and we'd love to share them with you. First caller, 605-4567. That's for the Red Bluff Roundup.
Okay, let's talk about the water. Let's talk about the rivers are running high. The Sheriff's Department has put the Sacramento River off limits for boating because it's running too high. They're letting out 50,000 cubic feet per second. That's 50,000 cubic feet per second. And, Bad Bob, you've been sitting here working on your calculator for the last 10 minutes. How many gallons is that?
370,000.
370,000 gallons per second is being released from the dams. Now, if the average swimming pool is 40,000 gallons, how many swimming pools can be filled in 1 second if they're releasing 50,000 cubic feet per second? Each swimming pool holds 40,000 gallons. How many swimming pools can it hold? Can it fill in 1 second? The winner gets the four tickets to the Red Bluff Rodeo. All right, I'll take that on chat. I'll take it a phone call, but I'd prefer a phone call at 605-4567. Oh, okay. Now, okay, we just had Doctor. Yeah, come in here, Doctor. Sit down. He just walked in. He's got his white coat on. I got scared for a second. and Linda's just ripped up all the just ripped the microphone out of the holder. Good job there, baby. Putting it back in. Dr. Doug McConnell.
Good morning.
Well, wait a minute. Wait, hey, Bad Bob, turn on the doctor's up. There you go.
All right. Good morning. I was just driving by, but I had these great pictures of Linda.
Oh, Richard Simmons. These are great.
You and Richard Simmons.
Oh, we had such a blast. And you're in your coat. You're ready to go to work. Thank you so much for all that you do.
Well, I just have a little heart operation due this morning, but I was driving by and I thought...
Not mine, is it?
No. Well, you're a Marine. I'm not sure you have a heart.
There you go.
You're going to do be on standby for Dancing with the Stars, Shasta County style, because...
I want you there with the, you know, with those paddles. Standing there. Yeah,
I'll be there for you. No, no problem. I'll back you up.
How's it going, sir?
Just fine. Just fine. It's a good day. I just have a surgery we're going to start this morning, but I had these photos from last Friday night, which I thought was actually, I was a little skeptical, but it turned out to be a wonderful evening.
Wasn't it? And I can't say enough about it. I mean, everybody
Linda came
who's
home,
been to that.
She was bubbling. Everybody has talked about it.
Yeah. He works that audio. He has a charm and a style. I don't know how to describe it, but by the time the evening was over, I said, you know, this was just one hoot. And I think everybody who was there had a thoroughly great time. And Shasta Regional was happy with the turnout and the general theme about, you know, activity and health, which I, as a physician, certainly support. So it's a good kickoff to the 100-day event that Karen has put together. And I sort of owed her apology. I was skeptical. I said, Richard Simmons is right.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, you know what?
Yeah,
all this, wonderful. You know, Karen, here's a shout-out from us.
Completely.
You know, for one, is your idea about this whole idea of 100 days of health, I think, came out of Karen's Karen's fertile imagination.
Actually,
there.
It did. That's correct.
And it did. And so she put her, and I remember her telling me she put that website together, or she was working at it, putting a website, and then now Richard Simmons. So, hey, wait a minute.
And I just want to say that my girlfriend came along to the show as well, Nancy Sutton Pierce, House of Yoga, and she was so inspired that she said on her radio show Saturday that she wants to challenge all of her listeners to 100 days, and those North State people who call her and say, I will challenge you for the 100 days, she's giving free yoga.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful.
Yeah, so well, she was just totally inspired as well.
I think, you know, Reading's such a wonderful place, and the people are great. Why not take this up in 100 days of activity and health? Frankly, we could all use it, and I certainly could, so I'm going to join Karen's cause.
There's something about, though, doing a heart operation. You know, you're coming, you know, you're thinking, there's your doctor doing push-ups to get ready, you know?
Oh, man.
We do have to take a break because we're running way late.
Yeah, okay. Thank you so much for popping by.
Always enjoy seeing you both.
Well, you don't have to leave. Yeah, we're just going to take a quick break there.
Oh, well, I think they're going to be putting my patient to sleep. I better leave.
You ought to be there to make sure he wakes up.
Well, thank God it's not us.
We do have priorities.
All right.
This is Carlin DeBott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Join us after these messages. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio, right here in KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 7:25 in the morning. Running, you're running hot today, March the 22nd. You know, this is what happens. You know, we love this too. Somebody walks, just drops in. Dr. Doug McConnell, premier heart surgeon around here. He's on his way down the hospital, opened somebody up, and he said, "Can I have some pictures from you know?"
He's in his coat, ready to go. Yeah, hey, Jim, congratulations! You won the tickets for.
the you know, he won the tickets for the rodeo, but Jim figured out that you would fill up 9.25 swimming pools with the water released in just 1 second. In other words, a swimming pool, an average swimming pool has 40,000 gallons in it. They release enough water from the dam in 1 second to fill up 9 1/4 swimming pools, 9.25. So, Jim, you deserve the tickets.
No, I'll give you a call after the show.
I've got
your phone number, so we'll find out what night you want, Friday or Sunday.
That's right. You know, we're going to be talking to the League of Women Voters in this next segment. Now, one thing you all have said many times is that, hey, we need an open line show. Okay, today at 8 o'clock, we're going to have an open line show. So, Indy, Coach, JRD, Val, Sun, everybody that's on there, I can't get all the names there. Open line, we expect some phone calls there. Because we got a lot of things to talk about. Other thing, I've got a lot to talk about Libya. But we'll wait. We'll wait till 8 o'clock to talk about that. But let's talk a little bit about Japan. When I said that on our website, and Bob, if you can, bring up KCNR on the other side there. I wanted to put on a link to where you can see what the radiation is here in the United States as the plumes of radiation work their way over here. I think Coach Bob says, yeah, the amount of radiation is about like reaching down and picking up a rock. So but what they're talking now is that steam's rising from the stricken Japan plant. And now here's the funny thing. You can read three different news reports. One, it's getting worse. And two, it's getting better. And third, they're not sure. Anyway, smoke and steam rose from two of the most threatened reactors at Japan's nuclear plant on Tuesday, suggesting the battle to avert a disastrous meltdown and stop the spread of radiation was far from won. So this is going on. This is the world's worst nuclear crisis in 25 years that's triggered by that earthquake and tsunami. Now, they're saying there's 21,000 people dead or missing still from the earthquake and tsunami. Not the nuclear crisis. There hasn't been anybody killed from that. They're working inside the evacuation zone around the stricken plant on the northeast Pacific coast, have attached power cables to all six reactors and started a pump on one of them to cool the overheating nuclear fuel rods. So they're still fighting it. And, of course, what that does here back in the United States is they're planning, of course, more nuclear inspections after the Japan crisis. You know, we're trying to get our friend on here and you know, as soon as we can, that does these kind of things. And I'm sure he's quite busy right now.
1 minute. And okay. Prudence, not paranoia, is my question.
Well, that's the whole thing is, yeah, let's check and see, because we have some out there. You know, people, the main comment I get from people is the San Onofre plant. It's right there on the coast above the ocean right there. And it's down there at Camp Pendleton between Oceanside and San Clemente. And it is right there. And it's on one of the faults. So that's kind of interesting. Anyway, they're talking about now they want to inspect all the plants and see just how strong they are. And California's taking the lead in that, of course. Okay, when we come back, we're going to have the League of Women Voters at 8 o'clock. We're going to be doing open line, and we're going to be talking Libya. We're going to be talking marathons. We're going to be talking Reading. We're going to be talking everything. Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
We have a happy bump in music, don't we, Carl?
We do.
And welcome to the program this morning, KCNR 1460. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. Currently 7:34 in the morning on this 22nd day of March.
And this portion of the show brought to you by Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress. And they have breakfast specials Monday through Friday only, but any day is a great day to have breakfast at Lumberjack's, but for $3.99, you get a plate full of ham and eggs, includes two eggs, hash browns, toast, and ham. $4.99 for chicken fried steak, $5.99 for New York steak and eggs. Great breakfast. They have a huge selection of breakfast there, not just these, but these are their specials. Local business, they do great work. They have very friendly people. That's Lumberjack's, 501 East Cypress. Let's go to the phones.
Good morning. We have Victoria Curtis on the phone from Cars. Good morning.
Good morning, Carl and Linda.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, you have something valuable to share with our listeners.
I do. I thought it might be a good morning to call in and talk about hydroplaning in all this rain we're getting. What causes hydroplaning are tires that are going bald. Now, there's one really clever way that a person can determine at what point they need to come into cars and get new tires. We do sell tires and balance them and install them, of course. And here it is. Here's the trick. You take a penny, you turn it upside down, and if Lincoln's head is covered, any portion of Lincoln's head is covered when the penny's upside down, when you insert it in the tread, and you want to insert it in several different treads, then you have at least 2 30-seconds depth, tire tread depth. If you have less than that, you better come in and see cars. You may be hydroplaning out there on the road.
Well, I can tell you that I drove down to Red Bluff yesterday, and all of a sudden, you know, the hail hit hard.
Right.
And, you know, Bob, only Bob, you know, Bob is he's just such a scientist. He took the variations of hail balls and then put them next to a scale so he could see what the width there was. But anyway, so I realized on the way down, you know what, my windshield wipers are just horrible. And I know we've talked about this on the Thursday night evening show, on my show. But, wow, I think probably when you have to hit them on and high, you see really how frayed they are. So I think this is a perfect reminder this morning with Victoria Curtis calling in from cars that not only do you need to slow down because you can hydroplane so easily in this weather, it's time to really check your windshield wipers. And those are just basic safety factors.
Indeed. So I guess we'll be seeing you today later, huh, Linda?
Oh, yeah. I almost stopped by yesterday, but you would have been closed by the time I got back. But I was like, oh, I need
you
guys.
Yeah, she needs new blades there.
Well,
that's
thank
for sure.
You know the deal, Linda. I'll come and pick it up.
Well,
that's
yes,
true.
You will.
They do that.
But I'll come by because I need to see the gift shop and buy a candle or two or something. So,
oh,
anyway.
Thank you so much.
All right, Victoria.
This is Cars from Victoria Curtis from Cars, and a woman-owned business.
And they're a one-stop shop. They're
not that makes any difference, except the bathrooms are cleaner.
Yeah, well, they are really
the seats are
service
always,
oriented.
The seats are always down. I've noticed that. So.
Well, thank you very much. And
you're welcome. Goodbye.
Thanks.
Yeah, bye-bye.
We have a wonderful program in front of us. That's
we do. And you know what?
More than a leaflet.
Because we can't even get started before we get to the next break, let's take the break early and we come back to the League of Women Voters because, I mean, we're ready. We're all excited about this. There's going to be a lot of things happening. So let's take a quick break. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. Our 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, and Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 7:42 in the morning on March the 22nd. We're marching right through March.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. They've moved to 1345 Liberty Street, 244-1988. Doug Tooley puts in Dish Satellite. He does a great job. He's a local. He's been in the business since 1985, except the time he took out to be with the 82nd Airborne. He's a veteran. Guarantees his work. You call 244-1988, talk to Heather, you talk to Doug. And he will do a very thorough professional job and guarantees his work. Give him a call.
We're going to give you forecast at a glance here today. Well, the forecast chance of showers 40% with a high of 52. Tonight, 100% chance of rain. Just forget about it.
What
it's there. 42 degrees this evening. Tomorrow, rain all day long. 49 in the morning, low 43. And, of course, today we are going to have a south-southeast wind between 3 and 5 miles per hour. And tonight, of course, rain. So we will keep you updated as the rain comes through.
Okay, one last time. Shasta, the dam at Shasta is allowing out enough water every second to fill 9.25 swimming pools that have 40,000 gallons apiece every second. And the sheriff has put Shasta has put the Sacramento River off limits for people who want to do some boating. Okay, let's go to our guest here.
I'm really excited about this segment, too. We have Jan Logue and Emily Davis from the League of Women Voters. Welcome to the program, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And you brought in this wonderful brochure. But, well, let's share with our listeners, what is the League of Women Voters?
The League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan, nonpolitical organization. We've been in Reading as an incorporated body since 1981, and I think it got started a little earlier. The National League has been around for 91 years, and our purpose is to promote educated voters. That those two words are our key, educated voters. So the programs that we put on help inform the citizens in terms of local topics. We do candidates forums where we invite candidates for elected offices to come, and we ask specific questions to all the candidates. So there's not, going after one candidate. We do not endorse candidates. We do, if appropriate, we will make a stand on certain state propositions, but only after the league has done intensive study. There are three levels of the league. One is local, like this is the Reading Area League of Women Voters. Then there's the State of California League, and, of course, the National League. So
all right,
you pretty much what we do.
Okay, and that was Emily.
That was Emily.
And that's you talking, Emily.
That's me talking.
And of course, and Jan, when we before we were taking a break and we were talking about the, and you covered on a couple of the bullet points
right.
that I thought were so important that our listeners hear. And one is that you don't take sides. It's not you will take sides. You'll get behind. Well, share with us what I just thought you articulated it so well.
Well, the League of Women Voters is political, nonpartisan. And the nonpartisan part is very important. And I'll just make a little side note here that there are members of the League of Women Voters from every political persuasion. But when we get into the League activities, we put all those things aside, and we're only looking at how can we best provide information to the voters in California and nationally so that they can feel that they're confident in voting the way that they intend. Because a lot of times ballot propositions aren't very easy to understand. So the League, in trying to provide this education, we do some great public service. At campaign time, we have candidate forums where local candidates will come. They have a certain number of minutes apiece. It's all very fair and very regulated. We gather questions from the audience, question cards. Sometimes the same question will get asked a number of times, so we consolidate questions, and then the moderator will ask the same question of every candidate, and they have the same amount of time to respond. It's not a gotcha opportunity for people who want to, you know, spotlight their favorite person or, you know, sandbag their least favorite person. The whole idea is to provide information for the folks. On the ballot propositions, before an election, and in California we're faced with these propositions, quite lengthy ones most of the time, our members will study the propositions and we divvy them up, and we actually give presentations free of charge to anybody who asks all over town, different organizations, senior groups, anybody who wants to, and they're called pros and cons because we give the pros and the cons of the propositions. We do take positions on occasion, as Emily said, on ballot propositions. However, if we have a position as a league on a ballot proposition and we're doing the pros and cons, we do not say what our position is. Somebody asks us, are you guys in favor of this or not? We won't tell them. We'll just say, go check our website.
Okay. Now you're getting ready to have a meeting here, or another
yes.
session here. On
this coming Thursday, March 24th, at the community room in City Hall from 7 to 8:30, we're having a forum entitled "Open Government: Where Do We Draw the Line?"
Ooh,
yes. It's.
And what's that? That sounds interesting. Just the title here.
Open government.
Yes.
Where do we draw the line?
And the basic question is the person's right to get information, their wishing to receive information, et cetera, versus security and the privacy rights of individuals. And there are many instances where there's no easy line to be drawn in terms of how much access to information should citizens have versus security or protection of citizen rights. So we started.
Can you give us some examples?
Well, I'll give you a very good example. It came up after we got going, starting to do this program, and that's the whole WikiLeaks issues. I mean, I think you can see that there are some things in that perhaps the government's saying, well, we really don't want all of that out because of security issues. So that would be a very good thing.
This is kind of like, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another might be a medical information in terms of somebody seeking full information on, a public person.
Should the public have the right to know all of the all the health issues with the president or presidential candidate?
Well,
what if we find out they're taking really strong drugs to keep them from, you know, picking up an axe and hitting the chief of staff in the head?
Well, you know, if you're really dying to know what Emily and I think about these things, then we'll talk to you some other time. But right now, we're the League of Women Voters.
Well, that's just a question. I mean, people have the right to know those things about presidential candidates.
That's
I think they
question.
Do. I think that you have, you know, if you're going to run for public office, public. You know, now there's other things I'll fight people tooth and nail about WikiLeaks. And when it comes to military, you know, releasing information that could put our people in harm's way. If it's just embarrassing, well, it's just embarrassing, so we'll get over that. But if you're going to get somebody hurt, I have a problem with that. Yeah.
Well, so these are the things that you're going to be discussing in the open forum on Thursday evening.
Well, go ahead, Jan.
Probably more basically, there are some laws that are state and federal laws that have to do with disclosure. And those are the main things that our speakers are going to discuss.
Okay, I tell you what, let's get to that after we take our break. And this is very interesting.
Yes, coming back, we have Jan Logue and Emily Davis from the League of Women Voters. We'll be right back. This is Carla Lindabot here on KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Radio. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 7:53 in the morning on March the 22nd. We're marching through this segment. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. And I understand Shelly may be down in the Keys taking care of somebody that was injured in the family. But our best wishes go out to her and to her family. And it is the finest place to get coffee there. Espresso Joe's gets
Espresso
it fixed.
Espresso Joe's.
Espresso Joe's fixes it the way you want it. Very great prices. Tobacco and Brew gives discounts to veterans. It also has the finest walk-in humidor in the state. And I tell you what, they do a lot for our community. They do a lot for our veterans. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, friends of ours. And they are good people. Our guest from the League of Women Voters.
We're talking to Jan Logue and Emily Davis this morning.
And I'm not sure, but I think it was Emily that was dancing right along there. she was rocking here.
We were asking at the break about how many members you have, do you have currently registered with the League of Women Voters in Reading?
In Reading, we have 70 right now.
Wonderful.
It goes up and down every now and then, but 70.
Again, the meeting is going to be this Thursday at the Old City Hall.
No. At the new City Hall.
The new City Hall community
room.
I'll tell you what. I'll be glad if I get it right. Okay, now we got it.
And it starts at 7 o'clock.
Okay, and your speakers?
We have Jan, who will be our moderator. And then we have an introductory speaker from the League, Linda Salter. And then our three main speakers are Doug Bennett of the, you've probably...
Doug and I. Doug's here all the time. He's always welcome here.
Yes.
You know that.
ACLU. Right. ACLU. And Rick DuVernay, who's the city attorney for the city of Reading. And Walt McNeil, a local attorney who has worked with the Record Searchlight. And so I think you can see that we've got some people who might have...
Cross-section there.
Cross-section.
Like that.
That's the whole purpose.
Yeah.
Walt has gotten involved with a couple of things here.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Doug Bennett and ACLU have gotten... involved in the library.
Well, we wanted to find...
In the library question, but just what can you say out in front of the library?
Right.
So
we wanted speakers who've had experience in implementing Freedom of Information Act and Brown Act issues. And all three of these guys have that. So it should be real interesting. You know, the major laws that we have in California that have to do with open government, transparency in government, and disclosure are the Brown Act, which actually came into being because of a couple of reporters from San Francisco Chronicle in the early 1950s. that's why California has the Brown Act, you know, open meetings.
That's why you can't have more than two of members of a city council or that talk at any one time about a subject. I believe if it goes to three, you have to do it in the open, right? Or have, don't they have an official? You have to have an official meeting.
That's right. With an agenda. Yeah.
With an agenda and everything that keeps them from getting
together. Advance notice to the public.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So all of that is encompassed in the Brown Act. And then federally, there's the Freedom of Information Act. So the Freedom of Information Act will probably also be a topic that these three speakers will talk about on Thursday evening.
I think this sounds really fascinating.
Well, before we take our break again, we want to talk about the fact that you've got this wonderful brochure that we can get at the library.
Mm-hmm.
You brought it in this morning, and we're going to have a copy here. At Citizen's Guide to Local Governments in Shasta County. I mean, this is basically a wonderful information compiled in one leaflet. It has every kind of piece of information. Shasta County, the place, the people, county government, county budget, county departments. So you have like a one-stop right here in front of you. Everything that you can get a hold of, from waste management to the numbers of all the council members, all of the supervisors, everybody in the departments.
Right.
So that's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And it comes out every 2 years, and Marlis Barbosa, one of our members, is the individual responsible for putting it together. So thank you, Marlis.
Yeah, great.
Now,
shout out to Marlis.
Thursday night at the City Hall. In the community meeting room there.
Mm-hmm.
And the time again?
7 p.m.
7 p.m. You've got some great speakers there. You got Doug Bennett, you got Walt McNeil, and then you got the city attorney also.
Right.
And we're going to be talking about how much should be released to the public.
Well, yes. People are going to leave with some more information and maybe some questions that they didn't have before.
Well, great. And then a place to, and then get some research to that.
Right.
Well, ladies?
Well, thank you very much.
You're always welcome here. In fact, please think of us as, we talked about on a break, think of us as your personal radio station here, because this is a...
be involved.
Yeah,
get involved.
This is a real important, this is really important that you get it out. You know, you're not taking sides. It's nonpartisan.
Mm-hmm.
And you're letting people, you know, see the candidates. You're seeing all the
for themselves,
all the topics.
Filter.
That's right.
Yep.
You know,
right.
We try. We've never endorsed anybody at the local and county level here on any election because we don't believe in that. First of all, and maybe at the national level we'll jump in there.
I mean, how we feel personally is how we feel personally.
Yeah,
but
just like you all,
we're gonna have a forum. We have to have a forum.
That's like
where
us. Very much like us.
Right. Great. Okay.
Thank you so much.
It's Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. And due to popular demand, here we go with Open Line Tuesday. And we're going to be talking about anything that you want to talk about. I have a couple of topics here, but we'll all jump in here in 605-4567. So hop on the lines there.
You're listening to KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Our radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, and Carl and Linda Bott, 8:05 on March the 23rd, 2011. And welcome back to this to our
the 22nd,
segment.
Honey.
I said 22nd. I was lisping.
Okay.
I said 22nd. I said 22nd. Did I say 22nd?
Don't confuse people. I know it's enough to get up and... Wow.
We're talking...
Sun's not shining.
Hey, well, you know, we're supposed to have kind of a good day. But tell us all about that there, Tara.
Okay, today we're going to have 52, high of 52 today. Of course, there's going to be chance of showers, you know, throughout the day, 40% chance. I love these percentages. It's currently 42 degrees. And, Bob, when it's red up there, that means that there's a warning. What's going
on?
There's
actually three weather alerts out right now. Flood watch remaining in effect for our area, along with a high wind warning. Now, one of the dangers is... Of course, with the ground so saturated, especially in the case of what they call jack pines and other trees with a shallow root system, is that they could potentially fall over. So, and we've already had reports of fences and things going over in the last windstorm. So, again, just be a little prudent about where you put things and just be aware of your situational awareness, as we like to say. So we do have more rough and ready weather on the way.
And the weather's always brought to you by Ensemble Vineyards. And we were out there last weekend. We have our new winter music series. The place was packed. It's great. Even in the snow, even in the hail, wonderful to go up there. If you had, you don't really, it's not that much snow up there at all.
There's no snow that night.
Actually, in the terrible weather conditions, we went up. It was great, warm, it was cozy, food was great. It was the best swordfish I had ever had. I'm not kidding you, bar none. This weekend, Charles Villona Trio. So if you're looking just like, okay, I got to get out of the madness, take a drive up there, go slowly, enjoy the beautiful five-star cuisine and the ambiance, and enjoy just this great music thing that happens up there. And so you need to make reservations in the music room. That's 474-5546. The music room only sits about 60 people, so it's important to get in there. And like I said, last week, Chris Lauer, we were there, and people stayed. They came at 6. They stayed. It was just really nice, just cozy and nice. So Anselmo Vineyards always brings us the weather here at Creek Fire.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about Libya. Okay. Let's talk about Libya. I have a few things jotted down here. Seems to me there's doubts growing in the country and on the end game of what we're doing in Libya. Does anybody can call in and explain to me what the end game of Libya is, of our attacking Libya? Three weeks ago when Obama was backing off, I wrote a blog about, you know, no-fly zones. No-fly zones isn't that. There's a lot more to it than just a no-fly zone. No-fly zone means you take out the enemy air defenses or command and control systems, maybe even some, electrical power substations, all those things to keep the, you know, to keep the air defenses down, to suppress it. When you do that, you're attacking. You don't have to call this a war. You can call it anything you want. But it's still putting men into combat. You're attacking and you're killing. That's what's going on. To say that there's no collateral damage, how can you say there's no collateral damage when you have Tomahawk missiles, you know, 100-plus Tomahawk missiles raining down on the air defenses? Now, if you're going to put us out there in harm's way and make a no-fly zone, this is exactly the way you do it. You know, and I expect our military to do that, and they do a great job. I'm not in any way remarking about what the military has done. They've been ordered to go in and do it. I'm asking is, why now? Why now? Why do we go into this? Have we chosen the sides, Ron? Oh, we have the phone lines, there are people calling in here, and there is a lot of questions I have on this that I want to continue to do. But I just wanted to start now. We're going to take a quick break. We come back, we'll get to Jimmy, and then we're going to continue from there. We've got 3 or 4 different topics. That should keep you interested. Plus, all of yours. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Free Fire Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Good bump there, Bad Bob. It's 8:12 in the morning. It's March the 22nd. 605-4567 is our phone lines. And we're streaming at KCNR 1460. It's a portion of the show brought to you by Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress. Hey, they've got a seniors menu. Got to be 55 or older. Gosh, I can't quite make it yet. But 2 dinners for $12, and we're talking great food here. We're talking ham. We're talking turkey dinners, fish, pot roast. It's all, and it's great. It's Lumberjacks, local business, local owners, 501 East Cypress. Okay, let's go to the phones. Jimmy, good morning. Open line.
Good morning. This topic might be a little out in left field, but did you guys hear about the gentleman that had a complete face transplant?
I read the headlines there a little bit, Jimmy, and it said something like he had a power line accident.
Yeah, I guess a power line had fallen on him. I know he was a construction worker. I don't know if he did it at work or what.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, that's just incredible. I mean, who pioneered that? And, you know, it's amazing the technology now they have nowadays and how they could do that.
You know, I'd heard about another face transplant. In fact, I don't know if you remember this, but a woman, and if I'm getting my facts straight here, I know it was one in Europe, but there was a woman here that had her face ripped off by a chimpanzee.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you remember that. It was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And they have rebuilt her face. And supposedly it was some kind of, I don't know if it was a transplant, though. I mean,
no, I think that was
just reconstruction. Okay. So how did you read about it? Did they just take somebody else's face in?
I think they did. It's been on the news, and I didn't know if you folks heard about it or not.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the thing is, you know, you've got your bone structure, and, you know, and you're just your general face. But if you've had it, like, burnt real bad, or say you've lost in an explosion, do they can take another face, and they lay it over your structure. Now, they may have to rebuild that structure, so does that mean that you look completely different, or is it just...
You know,
does your skin take kind of like the shape of your underneath?
That's a good point. I never thought of that.
I don't know either.
If that was me, I'd hope it was what the guy looked like, Brad Pitt or something.
Hey, I want a Brad Pitt face transplant. Well, you know what?
Another,
just think about this.
Thing I just want to mention is my son, he's in the Air Force in Aviano, Italy, and I guess they've been really busy there. I haven't really been able to talk to him because they're working overtime now because of what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
But I just want to give a shout-out to all those guys serving our country, too. So
absolutely.
I'll let you folks go. Nice talking to you.
Hey, you too. Thanks.
Hey, Jimmy, that's a good point, because now you've got us thinking about it. I'm thinking, well, I need to call somebody.
So when I got online
that
this morning, didn't I thank you, Jimmy. And also, when I got online, didn't I just turn around and show you something about eye surgery back in the 1800s, and it had this guy with his eyeball down on his cheek? I don't even know if I could pull it up, but it was when I got online this morning, and I said, Carl, look at this. It's just really weird. Hey, we are open line here and online, too. Let's go to Ruth. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, Linda. How are you doing?
We are great.
Awesome. Hey, the reason that I'm calling this morning, and I don't like to hear my voice too much.
One of our great commentators here.
Well, I actually am calling because I received a couple weeks ago in the mail a notice that a bed and breakfast wanted to open up across from a home that I own in Reading. And I thought, gee, you know, that's kind of a strange thing. So I called the city, and they said that they actually had gotten quite a bit of calls on the bed and breakfast, and they were all negative, and I called kind of at the last minute, the last day, and just to find out what kind of feedback, and they were all negative. And the gal that I spoke with said that, well, typically when everyone calls and they're in opposition, they won't even take it any further. But for some reason, they've decided to go ahead and do the public notice on this bed and breakfast.
Is this the one that has to do with Bethel?
It does. Well, you know, I don't know that... To be honest with you, I don't really care who it is. It's in a residential neighborhood, and it is a bed and breakfast. Typically, there are a lot of things that they look for in a bed and breakfast. One is the structure, typically, where it is located. There are four that are on the river, two that are on the bluffs, and this is right smack dab in the middle of a residential neighborhood. It's directly across from the house that I own.
Well, you know, that's this has nothing to do with Bethel. It just has to do with the fact is, what's a bed and breakfast doing in my neighborhood?
Yeah, and I was kind of curious about that, and then John actually showed me that the article in the Record Searchlight about the bed and breakfast.
Yeah, that's where I saw it, yeah.
And I thought, okay, this really isn't about Bethel. It's about a bed and breakfast or a commercial business wanting to open up in the middle of a residential neighborhood. And the kids that live in my house are... a nice, you know, couple with two kids, and their kids are little. And I thought, first of all, there's not a lot of parking in that area, and why would they want to open this commercial business across, you know, in this residential neighborhood? And I understand, you know, what these people are trying to achieve, but I was really taken aback by it. So when I called the city and I said, just tell me, how many permits have you ever issued in the middle of a residential neighborhood? And they said none. And I said, well, I don't understand why it's even gone this far. There are zoning laws, and those zoning laws are very simple. And why don't you just enforce them and just say no? Why does the public have to get outraged by a simple... a simple request to become commercial? We have CC&Rs. Most places do have CC&Rs. So if it has to go to the legal end of it, it'll go there, I'm sure, because there were 60 people or better that signed this petition. but I just don't understand why the community has to go through this.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask a question, and you're much better on this than I am. Can you, like, rent rooms? I mean, if you...
You actually can rent a room.
And you don't need a... But you don't need a permit for that, right?
You don't need a permit as long as the tenants have full access in the house. So if they want to put their Cokes in the refrigerator, they have to have full access.
Okay, so it can't be like, yeah, you can rent a room, but you can't use my kitchen.
Exactly. They have to have full access.
So, so if people wanted to rent their homes out, they could do that.
Absolutely.
Okay, and that's different. Now, here's the other thing, that as long as we're talking about this, because this is, it's happened in our neighborhood, is people taking in children and getting paid by the state for that.
Well, that, to me, they have to apply for that city.
Yeah.
And
I'm not sure
that,
yeah.
A home or a, a state-run facility in your neighborhood.
Yeah, that's kind of strange because we're starting to hear about those things too. Anyway,
right.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It seems like that it would be, since it's against the law to do that. It seems strange that they're taking it to that next step.
It does seem strange to me that they want to do that. And I thought to myself, okay, well, there's some contention about the Bevel kits. You know, to be honest with you, I don't see the issue there. I mean, if you're going to have a problem, I guess that's the best problem to have. But
I think that we've heard before with some people we know that are in businesses here in town that it makes it hard for other people to get jobs when the Bethel people come through and they want to work. And my feeling there is, if you want it, go get it.
Right. Exactly.
Just go get it.
Yeah.
That's exactly correct.
Hey, Ruth, thanks for calling. We got to take a break here.
Oh, you bet.
Thanks for bringing that up. It's an interesting concept, though. Yeah. Okay. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio. We've got people on the line. As soon as we take this break, and we'll cut it as short as we can, we'll come back to John. That's Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio.
Welcome to KC. Good morning. Welcome to KCNR 1460. You know what? We've got these tickets in front of us, and before we go to our brought to you by, we've got to get to the phone, and John's been waiting. So, John, welcome back to the program.
I don't mind waiting if you have to go to a message.
Well, this portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite, Doug Tooley. Call 244-1988, and he's locally owned. If you're looking for a great dish, and we're always saying shop local, stay local, B&T Satellite is the place to go. So there you go.
Okay.
I'm going to mention that.
That was a perfect lead-in, Linda.
All right. Well, you're
for
talking
what
about...
What I got to talk about.
I see that you want to talk about red light photos.
I do indeed, and I don't have one to deal with, but I have an issue with it. And I was reading through an old Reading Searchlight article, and they were talking about the breakdown of fees. And it said, under the city's contract with Redflex, which is the company that takes those pictures and processes them, the city pays the company $200,000 in fees a year before the city can collect anything. So out of all of that ticket money that's taken in, the first $200,000 goes to Redflex. Now, it seems to me that $200,000 represents more than two officers on the street that we could have.
Yeah. I agree. We're right there with you.
But
I think that it is time that we dismissed Redflex. Thanks for their efforts. Thanks for their help in curing whatever problems we had at these intersections. Get these lights out of here, take the $200,000, and put a couple of officers back on the street to handle crime other than traffic as well. But $200,000 is off the top of this fine money going out of our community at this time that could be used to pay for officers on the street is just reprehensible. Now, if I may, the following telephone number, 225-4055, is our city hall to call your city councilman. Once again, it's 225-4055. Ask for Missy MacArthur, Patrick Jones, Dick Dickerson, Rick Bassetti, Francie Sullivan, and tell them we want cops, not red light cameras.
All right.
Hoorah.
Hoorah! Now, did I get that out of my craw? I think so for the moment.
There you go. It's stuck in your craw there.
And you know what, John? I'll follow up with that because I know that on the way to work, I think I've told you right when I'm turning out, I go to Java City and get a cup of coffee and come down. I've kind of driven by because they're earlier on the way here and they're fun over there. It's so 6:45 I can pop my head in there. So I roll through. What's the street right in front of Old City Hall and Market? I'm blank. Okay.
Did you enjoy sending your money to Arizona?
I don't know yet. I thought that I've gotten two lights flashing in my face two different times. So I will let you know. Of course, everybody that listens on the air, I will let you know. I just got a ticket in the mail, and this is how much it cost. Because I kind of rolled through. You know, you see that nobody's there, and you kind of do the Hollywood turn to the right. So anyway, it's the truth.
I'm going to send you this link, Linda. It's worth reading the article from the Reading Searchlight. It also has some defense concepts.
You know, here's the thing is, Gator says that's $300 to $400 a pop, and he's right.
No, gosh, yeah,
oh,
it
yes,
is.
No, he is. It's true. Now you've got to do is fight it.
It's $476
for a red
ticket.
Light. Yeah. So.
Well, I guess
anyway,
you're going to see fighting
and
screaming.
Can I say it again?
Yes.
225-4055 City Hall. Ask for any of your city councilmen or the mayor, and tell them you'd like to replace the red light photo systems with a couple of cops on the beat.
Well, you know, I think you know when we were here with Peter Hansen. It's not even the tickets. What they're looking at is that the number of crashes at the intersections have dropped.
That's what they're always looking at.
That's what they're looking at, and they, you know what. They could care less. I think, well, they don't care less, but what they're looking at is to make the intersection safer, and they say the red light cameras have made them safer. Yes, it cost $200,000. Okay, devil's advocate here, considering I may have a $465 ticket facing us. The fact is that you can't have police sitting there looking at red lights all the time when we're short police officers. So that, you know, that the red light, the red light cameras, I tell you what, I stop. Where other times I may, you know, may goose
roll
it a little
through.
Bit to go through. Yeah, but, of course, the rolling through thing I find is just, that's not like you're that's not like you're just racing through the stoplight. That's you've stopped and you've just, you know, there's nothing there and you kind of go through.
Yeah, slow down.
There should be extenuating circumstances.
The court does not take
that into
consideration.
They don't care. You're right. You know, hey, you lawbreaker, you. Well, yeah, maybe they didn't get her. Maybe they'll look at it and go, you know, that wasn't enough. Who knows?
I think, you know, There's other enforceable methods to keep intersections safe. My big concern here is I am really upset with us losing essential service people out of the community and the money going out of the community.
Well, yeah, you know, here's the thing too is that they get, you know, so many thousand per light per month, but if they don't make that, we don't pay them anything. So
we don't make up the difference. But
we don't.
The first 200,000.
Right, that's true. They do. Okay, John, we just got a couple of seconds left here. John, thanks as usual for calling.
You're welcome.
This is open line. You know, if you got something stuck in your craw, it can be or something you want to share with us. Like, you know, Jimmy had that one about replacing faces, and that leads to a lot of good questions. Is do you look the same, or do you take on the face of somebody else? And if you do, does your personality change? Hmm. I mean, really, you think about it. If
Isn't
you change your
Travolta?
Face, yeah, I know. We're talking real life now, though. Bad Bob. Would your personality change?
Well, there's the same kind of thing about some kind of a strange thing that happens when you have organ transplants, that there are some there's still memories. I'm not kidding. So people say they have dreams and have images in which they have a certain organ transplant. I know it's taking on the energy
Carl
of the disease.
Where's Art Bellman?
Where's Hey, join us after the news here. We're going to be talking more. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. And Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here are 605-4567 are open right now. KCNR1460.com as we're streaming and chatting. And it is 8:35 on March the 22nd. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. That's right. Right off Athens Avenue, man's last stronghold. They give discounts to veterans. DC Tim and the Man in Black give great haircuts, great prices. And did I say discounts for veterans? Well, yes, it's true. Not only that, but great conversation, great magazines. And guess what you won't see on the TV? Dr. Phil. That's right. You won't see Dr. Phil. You won't see Oprah. I know. I know. It's hard to believe that because she's everywhere else. But you won't see that. That's Cypress Square Barbershop, Man's Last Stronghold.
At the Mount Shasta Mall on Thursday and Friday, it's 7 to 7. There will be silent auction for 2 days, and also call-ins and drop-in donations for Make-A-Wish. You know, our good friend Barbara Harrison, this is one of her pet projects, as well as many of you know, if you have ever been involved with Make-A-Wish, the very rewarding wish that they make come true. So this is their biggest fundraiser of the year. It's going to be at the Mount Shasta Mall, and that is the 24th and 25th from 7 to 7. And so I wanted to make sure that we announced that. Now, I know we have a couple callers. Well, gosh, I guess we're going to go to the phone.
The lines are filled.
But just remember, too, we've got the tickets for the Spring Home and Garden Expo. So we're going to take callers in a minute for that we give away. But should we?
Okay, so right before we go to them, today at 12:45 up at the IGO, at the Veterans Cemetery, will be a funeral for Domingo Lagara, U.S. Navy veteran of World War II in Korea. Born 10/16/24, died March the 6th, 2011. I know him, Dom. And here's a man that had a collection of old motorcycles. Into his 80s, he was driving these antique motorcycles around town. What a great, fine gentleman he is, and how we'll miss him. The service, again, at IGO will be at 12:45. Join us up there to pay our final respects. We'll be in the new chapel, I'm sure. And to pay our respects to Dom Lagara, United States Navy. All right, let's go to the phones. Pete. Hello, Pete.
Speaking.
Okay, you want to talk about traffic lights?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, I was listening to the last gentleman's call. Let me preface it by saying I haven't had a ticket in about 20-something years. And the first time I did get one was with one of those lights. So, but I'm actually in favor of the lights.
Okay.
For more than safety reasons.
Okay.
Let's go. But one of the previous callers, the man was talking about the cost. I think he said, talking about the $200,000 going
right
out, and that could have been other hiring policemen. Well, let's think this through a little bit more. Let's say the same light, and you put a policeman there, we'd have to, that'd be 3 8-hour shifts, right, if you wanted to have 24-hour coverage.
Right.
What would the cost be? That's $150,000 in just wages. Plus the cost of the policeman, what about the legacy cost of the retirement, all that kind of thing?
Oh,
so the cost would be much higher. Additionally, I'd rather have a policeman doing something that a robot can't do, investigating crimes, that type of thing.
Uh-huh.
So I think that it was kind of disingenuous what he was talking about the cost, when actually it doesn't. The first $200,000, the company's raising that themselves. It's not that they're taking something away from Shasta County. It would cost somebody to do it. Let's look at it this way. What about a traffic light itself? I think it's about $250,000 just to put in a traffic light. Going by his reasoning, why don't we take out the traffic lights and hire policemen to direct traffic like in the old days? That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it?
Well, I see your points here, Pete, and you're saying is that, you know, that it's, and really it's, you'd rather have the policeman on the beat than be at the traffic lights.
Don't you think that'd be a more efficient use of them?
I think that would be a very efficient use of them. Is, I, you know, personally, you know, every time I see, we had a policeman out here giving tickets along the street here for parking,
right.
And I walked out and I said to the sergeant, I said, tickets? He said, we have to give tickets if there's complaints. Otherwise, they don't. And I was thinking, here we are in the middle of all of this, and here's a sergeant out here giving tickets. I'm talking parking tickets, not traffic tickets, but parking tickets. So we need to look at what is the most efficient use of scarce manpower, and I understand exactly what you're talking about, Pete.
Well, another way to look at it, too, let's take that. If you said it was $200,000 for the lights, that'd be $50,000 per light. Let's divide that up. The tickets, I think, actually cost me about $500 for that.
Jeez, $500?
Well, when it was all done, right? It was close to it. And I realized there's some other fees added on there, like they charge you for the safety things of going through the metal detectors at the courthouse, even though you're paying the ticket by mail. But let's just make it simple.
For the air
let's
you say, breathe.
Let's say it is $500 per ticket. We'll divide that into 50,000. That comes out to 100 tickets. If you divide that up into the year, that'd be only one every 3 or 4 days. So it's actually pretty cheap. I mean, I'm sure that they're doing more than one a day.
Oh.
That additional money is going to the city of Redding.
Well,
let's say somebody runs a light. If a cop was there and had to pull him over and give him a ticket, while he's doing that, he's not manning the light. Whereas the light could take, you know, 10 people run the light in a minute, it's going to take the photo of them all, correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've seen multiple flashes out there.
Yeah. So
okay, Pete, you have made your point, and it was a great point. We've got to take a break here.
Right.
So you're looking at, what you're looking at is, hey, look, I got one of those tickets, and I'd much rather have the, you know, the light being, you know, flashing like that than have a policeman on there because of cost and the fact I'd rather have him doing a much more important job than giving tickets there.
Yeah, and the last thing is the safety. I mean, we've all seen a tremendous number of people running lights in this town. I see it almost every day. So.
You know, and it does.
Thanks for letting me.
That's what it's about. You know, we just had to take a break. That's the only reason I had to cut you off. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. And we've got Bob. Hang on. We'll get to the IRS right after this. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, our favorite place to go to for coffee at Espresso Joe's. Also, got the best walk-in humidor in the state. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Let's go to the phones here. Bob, you are on.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I mean, what are you up to this morning there, Bob?
Well, I had to start work before I finished my first cup of coffee, but other than that, you know, things happen. I was talking to a friend over Saturday. He lives up in Klamath Falls. He's a farmer. He grows hay, and he's affected by this dam removal of the water up there that you were talking about last week. And it's pretty bad. He does pay, at the end of the year, he paid a $2,000 surcharge because of the dam removal.
Uh-huh.
But what I want to talk about was he's been following a case up in Washington of a farmer. He has 3 plots of land, and he has to drive his tractor from each plant, each plot, to work it.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, you know, there's a difference with the diesel. I mean, there's a difference between diesel farm using farm equipment and road diesel, which has more taxes. But he's driving his tractor from one plot to the other plot, and the IRS agent pulled him over and checked what kind of diesel he had in his tractor, and they wrote him a fine. It's a pretty hefty fine for doing that.
Wait a minute. They wrote him a fine because of he had a certain kind of diesel he was using?
The fuel, you know, the road diesel is taxed. More taxes on it, whereas farm diesel has less taxes.
Right.
And it's got a dye in it.
Okay.
Tell the difference.
Oh.
He's driving his tractor from one on the county road to the other plot because they're not adjacent.
Oh.
He has to use the road to go.
So they got him for not having, because he had farm diesel in it instead of regular road diesel. They fined him?
Yes. they're fighting it and they're kind of backing off, he said, but he's following it. Where's the common sense here?
Well, that's what happens when you have too many of them. So
yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's just you know what? For some reason, it doesn't surprise me though. You know.
I know you're saying he's a Marine from Vietnam, and this is 2 different countries right now. When he went in and now it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's changed, and changes. It changes kind of on a. I don't know, daily basis.
This is what's happening.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Bob, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Oh, you know.
That's strange. You know, that is just.
It's heartbreaking.
It's bureaucracy at its zenith. You know, at its zenith. Yeah, I don't. You know, you want some good news?
I'll tell you, I've got some good news.
Oh, cool.
I've got some good news.
Okay, let's give away.
I've got tickets to give away. Now you can call 605-4567. The lines are open. And it is, we've been great calls this morning. 605,
thank you very, very much.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
605-4567. I'm going to give you 2 tickets to the Home and Garden Expo that's happening this weekend, March 25th through the 27th. And you get 2 passes. Plus, attached to those tickets is a $7 gift certificate to the cookie jar.
Oh my God.
They came by yesterday with a dozen cookies. I don't think anything's left.
Oh,
everybody
no.
came well, through, and those are the best cookies
yeah,
on the planet.
He was on yesterday, and those cookies didn't last long.
No, okay,
sure.
So we're taking that call now. And also I want to remind you again that This weekend I'm going to be driving at home, Charles Bologna. I'm going to see if I can get him on my show Thursday night. I have another musical guest, but his trio is going to be up at Anselmo Vineyards Friday night. And Charles Bologna is such a seasoned singer, guitarist, and Bruce Kalin and Dan Kinkle. I love those guys. And so they're going to be up, and I think I've got them booked for a couple dates up there. But Friday night, make your reservations, 474-5546. Home and Garden Show, congratulations on, let's see.
Oil Bob.
Oh, great. Congratulations.
Oil
Thank
Bob.
You. Come by and get your tickets here at the station, 1326 Market Street.
Maggie John was just announced as the Woman of the Year for 2011.
That's right. She was the executive director of the Shasta Women's Refuge, named 2011 Woman of the Year for the 2nd District by State Assemblyman. Of course, one of our buddies, Jim Nielsen.
That's right.
He is such a great guy. Maggie was honored Monday during a special ceremony at the State Capitol in Sacramento. As many of you know, she retired as executive director of the Shasta Women's Refuge in November after holding a position for 6 years. So her leadership and community involvement have been inspirational, and in her honoring and being honored, they were noting that some of her contributions, including awareness about domestic violence and sexual assault, by launching Walk a Mile in Her Shoes, and she was also...
Which is coming up soon.
Yes.
It sure is. Okay, we've got to take a quick break.
Maggie.
We have Roberta. We'll get to you right after these messages. We'll cut them as short as we can. This is Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Back to Free Fire. Down.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media and Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 8:53 in the morning, our last segment on March the 22nd. I just, you know, Bad Bob, he just handed me something that's just been faxed to us about from the California legislature, that it's from the vice chairman of the Assembly of Higher Education. You know, my friends, I'm not even going to get into this. Well, I'm going to wait till tomorrow morning.
Boy.
Because this is going to take some time. But you are not going to like it. Because I am right now, my headset just melted to my left
You're
ear.
Starting to shake.
Let's go to Roberta. Roberta, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah.
You're on the air.
I know. I think it's. I know what it is, but I won't talk about
let's
that.
Just talk, let's talk tax dollars and illegals. Okay. All right.
Well, what I was calling about is the red light cameras that I heard about, that there's some cities in California that have taken over their own red light cameras, and they have reduced the fines like to about half because they're not paying a company to do it. Mm-hmm. And then they have reduced it to an infraction, I think, and it doesn't go against your insurance. So I don't know. I'd like Reading to do that if it's possible.
That, you know what? That would make sense if they could do something like that. Because then, you know, I mean, because some of these, I watched out there. You know, the one that's on Cypress and Bocelli, right there on the corner there. I one time saw that light go off 6 times in a row because people pulled up and they, you know, and they're making that right hand turn.
Yeah.
And they I mean, there was no other traffic coming, and they made that turn, but they didn't come to a complete stop. Boom,
yeah.
Boom, boom. You know, so that was 500 times. That was $3,000 right there.
And that, you know, that money, talk about doing business local, that money goes out of our area. That doesn't help any business.
Yeah.
Every dollar that they take in fines and traffic, all that stuff, that mostly does not go into our businesses here locally. And $500 is a lot of money for the people in my family and young people and college people. $500 is a lot of money.
Well, I understand that if you go in there and you fight it, that you get a chance to get it reduced and all that. But who knows? I mean, you can get in there and the judge can just really spank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'd like to see our city take it over and not send our money to Australia,
you know,
wherever
it
goes.
Yeah. Well, Arizona. So it's you know, starts with an A. So anyway.
And I have to tell you our other good news. Our grandson is home from Germany, and he's been gone 14 months in the Air Force, 7 months in Baghdad. And anyway, we are happy campers at our house.
Well, we are happy. You know what? You know, God bless him, and, you know, we are happy too, and thank him for his service to us.
Okay.
Please.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much, Roberta. We always love you weighing in. We do have another caller coming in, but before we do that, okay. I told you this morning I was going to give away 3 sets of tickets We've already given away the Home and Garden Show. We've given away the rodeo. And the next caller who calls in after this call, 605-4567, two tickets for the Riverfront Playhouse, A Bench in the Sun, the performance. These are $17 tickets, the evening performance for Friday, April 15th. After you've done your taxes and you need a break, go check out a huge comedy, A Bench in the Sun. First caller will get two tickets for April 15th.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Jeff, you're on KCNR. You're live.
Good morning, Carl. This is Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
How's life?
Life's good.
I just wanted to say those red light cameras, when you go to court, there is no leeway whatsoever.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, gosh.
I'd gotten caught in behind a big rig. Had cut me off in the center lane on that light right in front of your studio.
Uh-huh.
And when I got to court, I saw the video, and as soon as the truck cleared the intersection, I had a view of the light, and I had a third of a second and 7 feet in which to react. I felt it was safer to blow through the intersection rather than stop halfway and block the traffic while I'm backing back.
Uh-huh.
And there was no consideration for the circumstances of traffic at all. And I was tagged with a generous fine. She had told me that she was actually giving me the minimum fine possible.
Which was?
It was $455. It had just gone up $10 for the security at the main gate, so it was $465. But since I paid the fine in advance, they generously let me off the $10.
Now, let me ask a question real quick here, Jeff. Now, who controls the, if you know this, who controls the amount of the fine? Is that the city?
I don't really have that
information. It has to be.
It's the standard.
Yeah,
well,
it has
to be.
Yeah. So the city is...
It should be the discretion of the courts.
Gosh. Okay. No, no, the city has to set these fines. I've got to find out.
So I'm just...
And then, wait a minute, there's another $100 that you're not thinking about, because in order to keep it off your driving record... It's $65 to the court for the privilege of taking the school,
uh-huh.
And then another $40-$50 to the school.
Oh yeah. Oh.
So you're actually paying I'm paying $555 approximately. I haven't checked out the price of the school yet. but you know, I don't mind paying my fair share when I screw up. I mean, that happens every few years or so. I get a ticket, but
yeah. But that's,
you know, when it's fair. When
if it's fair,
fair.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing is, you know, you're right, and we've run out of time, Jeff, so I really appreciate, one, your phone call about this, because this is just, I mean, at some point this becomes, you know, useless. I mean, the amount of money. Yeah, and the other thing with Linda is that, you know, she keeps this up. We're gonna have to...
Give blood. Give it.
Hey, we got to run here. Tomorrow we're going to be talking veterans issues. We're going to be talking with CVAC. We've got a bunch of other things we're talking about. Plus this handout to me that just came from the assembly. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Well, which are you?
This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Thanks very much for Open Line today. Everybody was here. We appreciate it, and we will be talking to you tomorrow.